You know, sometimes you go somewhere and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy this. And you end up having a good time.
Absolutely. I have that with gigs sometimes where I go, this is going to be the worst night of my life. It's ended up being quite good. The people are so... When I did the Greyhounds in Warragul...
What was that gig we did up in Queensland? I thought,
this is going to be terrible, but it was awesome.
That gig we did up in Queensland, was it Queensland or New South Wales? We were back at Byron. Remember we were going to cancel it? And about, there was one table out the back. Remember there was a broom out the back, and we got a bunch of farmers.
Where was that? Dorigo.
Yep.
That was Dorigo.
It. Yeah, well done. Got a picture of you outside that, actually. And ended up being such a good gig, because we were so ready to go. Look, it's not worth going there.
With Alan Briggs, who drove a long way to do it with us, and we were like, oh, I don't know.
Well, we said to him we might cancel. He nearly started crying.
Oh, no, that's a guy running it, Matt. Yeah. Right. And he got out a guitar and he played a song for us about. Well, yeah, because we could have got an earlier plane and got out of there. And he's like, please don't cancel it. And then he got out of. Because it was a Sunday afternoon gig, but the farmers were great.
Yeah, no, they were great. They were receptive and they enjoyed it. And it didn't matter that there was only, what, I don't know, 12 people there or something.
No, there was more. You're talking it down. There was at least 30, I reckon.
Really, you reckon?
Remember, we went to this place, Dorigo, which is up the top, above Coffs Harbour.
And was it? No, it was back of Byron,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
All, but it's all, that, I'm sure it's above Coffs. Anyway. And there was like a milk bar open where we had lunch, remember that? And then we started talking to these people and they came along as well. We were like recruiting people. He looked unimpressed, actually, the whole time.
You were watching him, were you?
He's like,
Well, his food wasn't that good, I must admit, at the milk bar.
No, he wasn't. He didn't run the milk bar. He was just some guy with his wife that we started talking to. Yeah. Well, where did you go the other night?
Oh,
you thought?
Yeah. So we're friends with Alan Fletcher, and he's been in Neighbours for 25 years.
Yeah, Dr. Carl.
Okay.
He's like a real doctor almost.
Yeah, he did 25. Not that I wasn't expecting to like it, but I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did.
Oh, did you go to the Neighbours party?
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No, it wasn't a Neighbours party. It was Dr. Carl 25 years, a night, a celebration of an audience with Dr. Carl.
Where was this?
The Doctor Will See You Now, it was called.
Because doesn't he play in a cover band?
He does as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For backpackers.
Went along and... thoroughly enjoyed it, but you know
was
why?
Was this like in a theatre or a pub or a?
It was in Melbourne, a theatre called Chapel Off Chapel.
Oh yeah. It's like a small theatre.
Must have been about 100 people there, and he just basically told his life story. And I'm a bio guy. You're a bio guy.
I love a life story.
Yeah, I love a biopic. Mm. And he basically told you his whole story from, bit of his childhood, bit of his early years, bit of the theatre, and then he went into television, and then he showed scenes from Neighbours, and. Albeit, you know, it's pretty easy to laugh at scenes from Neighbours, but he it was really funny the way he did it.
Tour it.
Oh, that's what I said.
Did you say that afterwards?
Well, we didn't. We went home.
He's getting mobbed.
Yeah, it would be perfect to take. And I was thinking you should talk to you, the king of the regionals. It would work perfectly. But it was
also England.
Oh yeah,
England.
I think that's his aim. But it was a very – and all there were Neighbours people in the crowd. And
people
would
love Neighbours.
I've never watched Neighbours, never been on Neighbours.
I love Neighbours.
But I've known a lot of the Neighbours people come through the years, you know, Kylie and Jason.
Jeff Payne.
And, yep. All the, I've known Mark Little. To all of those. And everyone's had a bit of a go in there. A lot of good people. I mean, your Hemsworths came out of there, didn't they?
I think so. I don't know. But it's been a good training ground for a lot of people. And look, a guy down the road from me, he's worked as a deep – a DP on it, like a director's assistant for so long. He's got long service, so he's been there for. It's just like a great job, and you can just learn the skills. You know, it's good acting.
Do they still
do
it
every day
out of Nunawading? Yeah, for those of you who aren't from Nunawading, Nunawading's about how long? 50 minutes from the city.
It's near where I grew up. Yeah, Nunawading Channel 10 Studios.
And if you're out there, there's not a lot to do. No disrespect for the area, but once you're out there, you've got to hang around the studio.
Yeah.
So you're sort of like it's almost like
ever
you're
since
going,
Wobby's World closed down and
the Wobby's World
and the Keg closed down.
That was over the road. All you can eat. Yeah. You will see a few all you can eats on the way out there.
Yes.
But you're kind of part of a little community.
Yeah.
Out there. So you kind of do everything together. It's not like you'll nick off and go shopping in the city for an hour.
Well, we did Full Frontal out there when it went to Channel 10. And so there was us, there was Neighbours. You'd see them in the line at the canteen. And there was Prisoner had finished, but there was other shows filming out there.
Well, Comedy Company was out there.
Yeah, Comedy Company. Yeah. Oh, good times. It's like Hollywood and Nunawading.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, just, you know, sometimes when you maybe people think that when they turn on this podcast.
Yeah. I hope you didn't say that out loud as the lights went down. Oh, Jesus. This is going to be boring.
Here we go.
Oh, my God. I would have rather the bounce of the dog story.
No, but I, as I said before, I'm being diplomatic about it, but I didn't. Wasn't that I wasn't going to enjoy it.
No, you just.
But I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a Neighbours fan. There, I'm no. being, yeah.
See, I'm a Neighbours fan. So I went through a stage in shared housing for at least five, eight. We used to sit around and watch it.
So you'd come together.
There was no Netflix or.
You came together. You come together and share something.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'd watch Neighbours, and then we'd go and Mark Little, who played Joe Mangles,
yep.
was doing stand up in the late 80s, and we'd go and watch him. And
yeah, he was kind of very cool. Whatever happened to Mark Little?
He moved to England.
And then we haven't heard from him. He was doing a morning television show for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And he did.
And doing a bit of radio, I think, but I haven't heard much for a long time. I know his kids, I think, went into it as well.
Yes, I did see one of his kids do stand up. One was very good.
He was the edgy
coolest school man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was quite an intimidating character.
Oh yeah.
He was capable of
cracking it.
Yeah, and calling it pretty straight.
Oh yeah. He last I saw of him he was on the British version of I'm a Celebrity or Big Brother or one of them.
Yeah.
He was on one of those shows.
He was about to bring me on one night. I was upstairs because I was waiting upstairs, and you walked down the stairs for the Comedy Cafe, and he got into a fight.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Got into a fight, and I just heard, you know, chairs crashing around. And then then it went quiet for a while, and then he went, oh, would you please welcome Glenn Roberts? I'm going, no.
Come on, Joe Magnus. Such a lovable character on Neighbours. Oh, well, that's exciting.
Anyway, showbiz stories. There you go. There's another one. Rack it up for
Neighbours. Yeah. Next week I'm going to the E Street party. That'll be good.
E Street.
There's a show. Now, there was a show. That was a soap opera too. That, with Wheels. Remember Wheels, which is Marcus Graham?
I can quite honestly say I have.
You never saw E Street?
No.
You were probably working, actually. You would have been doing the comp. You would have been busy, whereas I was not that busy in the late
E Street
80s,
would have been, what, 7:30 midweek?
Yeah, 7:30.
Hour. And absolutely. It was like the rap packed to the rafters.
Yes, Reverend Bob, which is Tony Martin, the actor, you know. Oh, man, I remember all the characters. Oh, there was some real spunks in there. For young men, there was like, you know, some attractive people in there, that's for sure. A lot of things happened on that street.
Do you think they should? Sam's listening and, yep, there she's.
Yeah, the music. The music. Yeah, fair
she's
enough.
No more reminiscing
about E Street.
About soap opera.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, you're welcome to the podcast. We're here again.
Somehow
Related.
Two topics.
How does it work, Glenn?
It's funny you should say that. Two topics. You wouldn't think they were related.
No.
Sam, our trusty friend, finds them, presents them, and together we try to work out, you know, what their link is. Then Sam fills us in. We haven't been talking to Sam as much as we should, I reckon. I think we should talk to Sam more.
Yeah, we've been neglecting her a bit.
I mean, it's busy times.
She's got her own career.
Hope she hasn't got.
I hope she's got the virus. That's the other reason we don't want to. I tell you what, though, my partner was reading out the paper today that you've got to be in a room with someone for 2 hours to get the virus. No, 15 minutes. Direct contact. So if you had it,
yeah,
we'd be stuffed.
Let's get the topics.
All right, here we go.
Tea and British tanks.
Oh, tea for
tea.
Two.
Tea meaning tea, cup of tea.
Cup of tea. You love tea. You love a bit of tea.
I'm more of a coffee guy now.
Wow.
But I'm when they come around with the trolley at the nursing home. I go for week black.
That's it, yeah.
I'm
that old. I used to work, before I did comedy, I worked in an office where there was a trolley lady.
There actually was a trolley.
And it was great.
Now where you didn't pay anything.
Because there was a
time where the trolley lady was replaced with...
vending machines.
No, meaning that they'd come around with a trolley, but then you had to buy stuff. They'd have, you know...
You're right. Yeah. The trolley lady, you didn't have to pay, but she had a very limited... Set up.
Well, in the nursing home, you have, which I tried a time around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a cup of tea, bit of cake, good cake, scone,
nice.
Devonshire. Don't you love Devonshire? Do you like? You a Devonshire tea guy?
We're talking scones.
Yeah.
We make scones. We made them last week at home.
Pretty easy to make. Oh, how do you make a scone for those who
butter, flour, and milk?
And lemonade. That's what I heard.
Well, you can put lemonade or cream in the mixture too. But yeah, look.
Keep them light. And
they're good.
Cream first and then jam on top, or jam then cream?
Jam then cream for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's an obvious. It's obvious, isn't it?
It's obvious.
I don't know how you could have it. In fact, I'd be quite alarmed if I had to bite into it when there was cream then jam.
Nothing like a fresh scone.
Oh, if it's still hot and fresh and scone, would they be one of those things one day only? As in,
no, you know what? This is an interesting thing. My partner was going to throw them away, and I looked them up, and you can reheat them in foil, and they're just as good
in the oven, not the microwave.
No, I don't have a microwave, but yeah, in the oven.
You don't have the microwave.
The jury's still out, mate. Jury's still out.
What you might be zapping your private parts. Yeah,
your knackers.
I must admit, when the microwave's on, I step away.
Step away, mate. Step away.
It's in our pantry, so I step away from the pantry. It's like when you get an X-ray. You know,
oh,
I step back.
No, but actually, I did go on another podcast the other day, which was a great one hosted by Dave Thornton.
Oh, that's very good, with his mate?
Yes, Jed Wood. No, not the football one. No. He's doing another one. Anyway, they had an expert on, this woman who's this amazing academic on electrodes, and she actually explained to me how a microwave worked. Because no one had ever explained it to me. And what happens is that the microwave moves the particles of the object around, and that's how they heat up, because of the friction of the particles.
Because it feels to me like the food isn't hot. Heat has been introduced into the food. You know what I mean?
It's the particles moving around, man.
It's the particles moving around.
It's black magic, I reckon. Anyway, look.
And it goes around on a little rotating plate.
Yeah.
What do you remember your first time? What were the first? Would that be the first thing you would get if you moved into a share house?
No, we didn't have a microwave. I don't know why.
When would microwaves have been like a standard thing in the house? Gee.
Oh, when did microwaves get introduced?
Yeah.
80s. 80s,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
80s.
And the we all know the ding.
Ding.
Great sound. But now when I work somewhere.
It's salivate. It's Pavlov's dog ding,
oh,
isn't it?
Yeah. When I work somewhere, I never know, because I'm not used to microwaves, I never know what temperature.
You just look at something. That's 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Yeah. And then I can, you know, you can work the angles a little bit, maybe sensory, you know. Going from frozen to heated, that's a bit of a task.
That's difficult.
That's a difficult one. But anyway, so tea.
Tea. I mean, you love tea because Mick Malloy always tells the story, and he told it again on the radio when I was with him the other day.
Yeah.
But how you came down and you were so angry and you said, "Someone stole my fucking tea bag." Apparently you were very angry. Do you remember that story?
I think Mick's starting to make stuff up.
He makes stuff up.
Yeah, I reckon. What do you mean he stole my tea bag? He's making stuff up. I would never.
And he always said that you and Jeff.
We jiggle the show. Jeff Stilson.
Would fight over the tea bags.
Jesse, again, he's making. I'm going to start making up stuff about him. I don't need to make up stuff about him.
Well, the good thing about him is that if you turn up to a theatre and there were six beers, they're all his, weren't they?
Yeah.
You go on, Mick, and you have the tea.
Because we were having tea and he was having his beer ratio, because we'd have a discussion about it before he went on stage. Do I have a beer now? Which means I'll be on my second one. I don't want to be onto my third one by the time I do my set. We had to sort of time it all out.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he peaked with his alcohol too early, it was all over.
Yeah.
You get a little bit, you know, narky in the Q&A section of the show. Tea. So you have to go back to your ding dong in dynasty, wouldn't you? Tea. Chinese.
It's Chinese.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I read about this the other day. I was reading about tea. I'm not a tea drinker. Never have been.
Aren't you?
No, my twin brother is. He says, you know, Glenn, he says it's an appetite suppressant, so it's good to drink. But no, I'm not a tea. I don't like hot drinks. They're the temperature of the devil. Haven't you heard?
What's the devil got to do with?
That's from 30 Rock.
Oh, right.
That's from Kenneth, that guy. But no, it's a good quote. But the Chinese were specialists in tea. They grew all the tea in the world. And then England introduced it to India and got the Indians to grow it.
Oh, they're going, this is all right.
But the Chinese sent this, they wouldn't reveal their secrets. And so they had to send like a guy to go and infiltrate them and get their tea secrets. The British did. They sent some guy, some Scottish guy. I'm sure it was tea.
They want you to go over there.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Find out how they make some sort of bomb or, you know, illegal arms or something? No. Cups of tea.
Cups of tea. It was the growing of the tea, I think it was.
Well,
the growing of the tea that was so
when did the bags come in? That's interesting. I reckon. Ooh, I would have
50s,
said
40s, 30s. They had them in the war, didn't they? They had tea bags in the war.
You would think so. Mm. But maybe it's just because I didn't know what tea was. But has it always been a part of your life, a tea bag? Hasn't always been part of my life. Maybe we did, because a sophisticated cup of tea, even now, is your loose leaf.
Yeah.
With your pot.
Yeah.
And your pot warmer.
Mum definitely was tea bags.
Yeah.
Mum and Nana were tea bags.
My brother was still a bad guy. So when he – no, he's still a loose leaf guy.
Oh, a loose leaf.
And so when I have that tea, it hits me like a – it's very potent.
We went to a – because Kitty, my daughter, loves tea. And when we were in England, we went to a tea shop. They have these tea shops where you can sit and have a cup of tea. That's all they serve. And they have cakes. I was into the cake. But it's quite old-fashioned. And they have all these amazing teas. And they bring them around. They let you smell them and stuff.
That's good.
Yeah.
A little bit boring after a while.
A bit boring.
One of my first stand-up routines was how you dip a teddy bear into a...
Oh, that's right.
Dip a teddy bear into a cup of tea, and if you leave it too long, he'll drop off. But you say you have to dip him just for the right amount of time, and then you bring him, and then he'll stand back up, and then he'll fall into your mouth. But if he drops off into your cup of tea...
Oh, that's a disaster.
Yeah, and then you get to the bottom of the cup of tea, and there's teddy at the bottom. Again. Yeah. What the fuck was that all about? How dare you?
Yeah, Milo's the same. If I drink a hot drink, I'll have hot chocolate or Milo.
What will you? Okay. Do you only dip sweet? You need to dip savoury in that.
Oh, never.
Okay. What will you dip? Cake?
No, you drink cake, don't you?
So what? Hang on a second. What would you dip in a cup of tea? Oh, you don't have a cup of tea.
I don't drink a cup of tea, but if I did,
what would you dip in Milo then?
Yeah,
well, you're a Milo
biscuit,
guy.
A biscuit. A plain biscuit.
Plain, but would you dip a donut?
No.
I'm trying to work out what you would dip in your Milo.
No, just biscuits, plain biscuits.
Just biscuit. What about a bit of toast?
Oh, God, no. That's barbaric. It's for soup, isn't it? I do love soup, I've got to say.
Don't get me started on soup. We fucking don't do half
good
an hour.
Soup.
When you put the kettle on,
yeah.
I was talking to the guy who was doing my electricity the other day. He said your kettle is one of your biggest pullers of your electricity.
Is that why it often turns off in my house? The safety switch goes.
Yeah, because it wants to do it quickly. It goes, you want me to put a sucking big time on it. So, you know, if you want to save electricity.
Carbon footprint, the old kettle.
Yeah, no, it's sucking big time.
It is pretty amazing what it does. It boils that water so quickly.
So quickly. Ugh. Really quickly. Because we've got one that I can pick the degrees on it and go 70, 80, 90.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what's boiling?
No idea.
30, oh, that's body temperature, isn't it? Boiling 100?
Yeah, I think it might be 100. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm no scientist.
So I'm coming in at 90, which is hot. Because with a hot cup of tea, you're waiting 5 minutes before you can really get into it. Because I go, cup of tea, this is interesting, cup of tea, do it, hot water, little dash of cold water.
Not interesting, no. Well, I think we've talked about this before, but some old people make cups of tea from their hot water system.
Oh, yeah.
And this plumber rang up when I was on radio and said, do not use hot water.
Because it's...
Oh, they've got tanks. My parents have got a tank.
Yeah.
They've been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
And he goes,
so don't use it. So you've got to boil it.
You've got to boil it, guys. Boil it.
I reckon my mother would have 8, 10, used to have 12 cups of tea.
Wow, that's amazing.
And as soon as something happened, you had a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Oh, well, put the kettle on. Oh, yeah, put the kettle on.
Definitely, there's been a lot of sitting around in my house with my mother-in-law and...
Would you like a cup of tea?
My wife and my daughter.
And if you say no thanks, they go, oh, I'm stuffed now. I don't know what to do.
When I first met Kieran...
I've got to talk to you.
The mother was just so frustrated that I didn't drink hot drinks.
Yeah, because it gives her a reason for being.
Yeah, I know.
Something to do.
I know.
And then you've got the tray to bring out. Then you can bring out the shortbreads. Biscuits. You can bring out the scones.
I'm happy to eat all of that.
Yeah. But I don't get it. How can you have a cake without... Because it's this. Okay, I'm going to act it out. Is this interesting? Ready? Mm. Bit of cake. Bit of cake. See? But you just go, cake.
A lot of Cookie Monster.
Cake.
I love
See,
cake.
I if my cake comes... I can't eat my cake until my tea comes.
I've noticed.
I'm not because it's just it's they're a marriage made in heaven.
No, I understand that, but
it's the devil drink for you anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it's the devil.
What about drink. How would you go with iced tea?
No, I don't like iced tea either.
It's big in the US, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big iced
and
tea.
And they tried it in bottles here, but it's just so full of sugar. I wouldn't want to try it.
I don't know. Have you seen this great thing? It was on this invention show. I think it was Wallace and Gromit's invention show or something. In England, they had for a while, you had an alarm clock next to your bed, which also included a it would boil a cup of tea for you.
Yeah.
And then you'd sit up in bed and drink it.
Oh, it's repulsive. Yeah. I just doing anything with food repulses me in bed.
British whipped cream.
hang on a second.
British houses are so cold though.
Just ow.
To sit up in bed and have a cup of tea was probably very appealing to the Brits, you know?
Yeah.
And some people still have them. Oh, I know it sounds horrific, but that's quite nice at a lie in bed. The alarm goes off to know that someone's making hot drink for you.
It's a diuretic, isn't it? Mm. So I reckon it's the worst thing to have in bed or near bed.
Now, this is when you get up in the morning.
But what about before? Some people I know that have a cup of tea.
Oh, and they go to bed.
Late at night and go to bed. You're going, seriously?
I know.
You have a cup of coffee at the wrong time. That's a diuretic.
Yeah, you want to go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet continually. Oh, here we are talking about going to the toilet again.
My dad, who's 84, goes, he doesn't drink anything after 5. That's his, so he doesn't have to get up in the night.
It's worth it.
Well, if you don't want to get up, yeah. Because mum gets up twice or something like that in the night.
How many times? Your doctor will ask you that.
Oh, I don't get up. Since I've got my CPAP machine, my sleeping.
You don't get up at all?
Don't get up at all.
So what would you rate yourself if sleeping would be 9 out of 10?
Having a CPAP's meant to really help you, but I don't know if it's helped me that much. I'd say
seven.
Yeah, seven. I'm a good sleeper, but
you're a very good sleeper.
But I can't sleep on planes. I can't sleep anywhere unusual. I see some people on planes just go up like that. Like, you know, if you're on a Japanese Airlines plane, all the Japanese just go bang straight off.
Yeah. Some people are just good at it. I just, you know, introduce some little drugs. I'll give you some drugs.
Drugs would be good for
me. I've got some good drugs that you might use. What else can we say? Oh, tea cozies.
Oh, they're cute. Yeah. That is a funny thing when someone walks in with a beanie on their head and you go, oh, you got a tea cozy on your head? Hey.
So,
what does a tea cozy do? Just keep it warm.
Yeah, but I don't know why you want to keep it warm because you're going to sit there and drink the tea. You're going to have more than one cup of tea.
Yeah.
So, you don't have more than one cup of coffee, but you sort of drink it dry.
It's weird, isn't it?
You get a little pot. You get a little, because you order a cup of tea in some places, you get a little tray. You get a little pot. You get a little thing for the leaves.
And milk.
You get the milk. You go, it's like a work in progress. The
whole ceremony going on.
Yeah, and you don't want to embarrass yourself by not knowing what bits for what. And because I did it the other day. I had the strainer, which fit into the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Had nowhere to put the strainer after I'm going to put dribbles everywhere.
No, that's hard.
Because sometimes those things come with their own little tray, but sometimes they don't.
How many cups of tea are you having a day?
I don't really have that many now, but of late, like yesterday, they didn't have milk because I was going to have a coffee from the machine. I had to have a cup of tea and went all right with a bit of birthday cake.
Nice. Just the word of cake. What sort of cake was it?
it was a Lamington Swiss roll.
Oh, yum. Yep.
For a birthday cake, which was pretty good. Yep. I did have maybe a little bit too much of that cheap cream. But it was
I don't mind cheap cream.
Surprise, surprise. It was bought in a supermarket. It wasn't too bad.
Not too bad. I'm more excited about tanks than tea, I've got to say.
Did you have a tank? I had my photograph taken.
Oh, you had a photograph taken in a tank?
No, with a tank only yesterday.
Why?
Because we went to, there it is there.
Oh, wow. Is that the RSL somewhere?
No, it was the Steam Engine Club in Scoresby in Melbourne.
You are living at large. Why are you going there?
Because Selinda's father works there.
Oh, does he?
He was a mechanic. He's 90 and he's met up with like-minded people and he goes out there every second day kind of thing and they open up once a month and it's a whole show. There's a whole show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there was, I can play you.
My dad would love it.
Your dad would love it. And they had one of these organ machines that played automatically and played this. Tell me that's not a fun day out.
Yeah. It's a fun day at the fair, kids.
A lot of kids were there. That made me feel like I was in an episode of Deadwood or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know, but that what is that? What is that thing? It's an automatic organ. No one was playing it.
It's an organ.
It was playing itself.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's like a jukebox.
The Wurlitzer.
It was a really big Wurlitzer.
So they got tanks out there. What else they got?
They got lots of engines from, you know, from from industry,
steam,
from ships.
Steam stuff?
Yeah, a lot of steam. Ooh. And it was interesting because you got to see how you run a number of engines in a room. Well, they all run off the same. They don't create their own steam. There's one central steam maker, and then which supplies steam to the machine.
Oh.
The machine then builds the pressure, which reverts it, and then reacts into the piston, and then away you go. So then you can work your sewing machines, your shoemaking machines, your cleaning machines.
Well, steam used to be the big industry, didn't it? It used to be the big thing.
And they had, what, they have graders out there, had a train ride. Anyway, so I got my photograph. That looked like an old Australian one. So tanks were, they, when would they have been created? First World War. By who?
I don't know.
I'm thinking the Germans. Must have been a pretty good thing to, when you've gone, I'm going to invent a thing, goes on caterpillar
tracks.
Tracks.
Some had wheels, but
with a gun in it.
Yeah.
And you can't explode. You know what they found out though, is a lot of the time, like, troops would just run up next to the tank, ramp around from behind, open the top,
drop chuck a hand grenade,
in there.
Oh.
And Bob's your uncle.
What a way to go.
Oof.
So they can lock the top now.
Hey, make sure you've been outside. I had to go to the toilet. Just, you know, make sure you lock the door.
There's no aircon in there.
Oh, no.
There's no aircon.
There's no, you know, there's no opening the window.
No. Gosh, it'd be terrible being inside a tank. Have you seen that movie Fury with Brad Pitt?
No.
Tank movie? Oh, it's great.
Did I have a tank as a kid?
I had a tank. We used to make the model tanks, you know, the model. Like, you used to make model airplanes, and then we make model tanks.
Oh, yeah. They had a few of those out there as well.
But my son's got tiny little remote control tanks that he works.
Oh, that's good.
They're great. They're cool. They zip around. Yeah.
What tanks in history? Tianemen
Square? Oh, yeah. Tianemen Square.
That would be the most, would it not be?
One of the most famous tank photos of the guy putting the flower in the
fantastic
gun thing. The turret? Not the turret, the gun.
What happened after that?
Guy got killed.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Let's not say anything about the Chinese at this point of time. Let's not say anything.
But with the tanks is what. So the Germans, I saw this documentary that on SBS. They developed very good tanks, you know. But then the Russians developed an even better one that could cope with the mud and stuff.
Yeah,
because the Germans went into, you know, they fought the war on two fronts. So they had the French going.
Yep.
They had Russia going. They had Africa. Well, three fronts really. They had Africa going as well. And they went into Russia going, oh, we're going to make Moscow by winter. Yeah, no problem. But because of all the mud, they couldn't get there. And then these German tanks were just like,
if you were a trooper and then you saw a fleet of tanks coming over the hill, you'd go, run.
Yeah, that'd be so scary.
Oh, there's nothing you could do. I mean, you know.
Because they're part bulldozer when you think about it, aren't they? They're like a bulldozer crossed with an armoured car. Well,
because they're not on wheels, weapon. Because they're on those
tracks.
Tracks. He's going up and he's going, oh, you're like, you never stop.
Oh, terrible.
Sherman, was that a tank? Sherman tanks. Some of them can go pretty fast as well.
Oh, yeah.
The new ones can go like 100K. Well, so you're doing 100K coming at you, firing off.
And they had those tank battles, didn't they, where the tanks would fight against each other.
The tanks would fight each other. It'd just be horrible.
We're talking about British tanks.
Well, the link there is British and tea.
Yeah, they love their tea. They absolutely love their tea.
Yeah.
I don't know. British tanks.
Mm.
Maybe it's something to do with the technology of tanks.
Do you reckon they had a steering wheel or just levers? I reckon they would have said, because the way to steer them is make one side go more than the other.
It's levers. I'm sure it's levers.
Yeah, but the way they steer is that the right-hand side goes faster than the left-hand side, so it turns left.
Yeah.
And then the opposite for turning. I know that because that's how my golf buggy works.
Oh, really? Well, if you see how a tram or a train gets driven, it's levers. It's not a steering wheel. Because they're on a track, I suppose.
But there's no steering in it. There's no. That's no steering.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good point. Hang on, a tram's got to go sometimes turn. I suppose that's already designed for
the designated. I was at the exhibition yesterday, and they had a big train set. And Thomas the Tank Engine was just flying around.
Oh, really?
And he was going against all the other passengers. He was just going really fast. Then I noticed that Thomas the Tank Engine had stopped. And you know why?
Why?
Because the guy organising it.
The fat controller.
The fat controller. It plugged in his toasting, his sandwich toaster to make his lunch. I'm going, you've turned off the best one of all.
That's funny.
Hey, mate.
Mate.
Sam, get Thomas back on there. You know.
You've probably ever watched an episode of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, a little bit. It was oh, right, and say it's not Ringo Starr, is it?
Yeah, Ringo Starr originally did the voice.
Can you do his voice?
Hello. One day, Thomas was out in the yard. He's kind of like that.
I reckon you do something pretty well like that.
Nah, but not You know what happened with him, though? He wanted more and more money, and then eventually they went, no, we just got some other bloke to do it from Liverpool.
Why would he want money? Surely he's got enough money.
Oh, I don't know. But Thomas, it's a very weird show in that the Fat Controller is like a... I compare him to like a pimp working his hose because he's like, he has favourites.
Oh, right.
So he's like, Thomas, you've been a bad boy. You've got to go sleep outside by the old graveyard. But you, Percy, come inside the sheds and we'll have a shunting. It was like really weird.
Have a shunting. Message for the kids?
Oh, is that, well, it's not such a bad message. Is that teachers have favourites.
Because with the grandchild, someone was saying the other day, if you watch, Perky Pig, Piggy.
Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig. Sorry, I needed that.
Perky Pig.
The message isn't as good as Bluey.
Bluey's fantastic.
Bluey has a better message, and
Bluey's,
I think the way they
Aussie too.
Talk to each other on Peppa Pig is a little disrespectful.
Oh, the dad's an idiot for a start on Peppa Pig. And also, as my son pointed out, they eat bacon on Peppa Pig occasionally. They're pigs. They're eating bacon. It's not very good. That's how Mad Cow started. Nah, Bluey's a great one. My partner loves Bluey. Bluey's very funny. Because you also relate to it because it's Australian too. It's Australian, mate. It's Australian.
But from the one episode I saw, the dad was an idiot and the mum was smart.
In Bluey.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. In Bluey.
Yeah.
Dad was out.
Dad's in charge of the kids.
So, right.
But
and what are they? Blue heelers.
They're blue heelers. It's a great one where they go to the Chinese takeaway food shop and they forget dad's spring roll, so he makes them wait. Then one of them has to do a bush wee, they call it, when they got to go and re in the bushes. It's very believable, the Bluey.
That's good, isn't it?
That's great. All right, well, let's have some thinking music.
What could we have? Sound effects of a tank being shot?
Anything to do with tanks or tea?
Anything to do with tanks? Well,
I could just sing the song, Tea for Two, just you and me alone. Uh-huh. Where's that from, Gilbert
Solomon? Bushels is a famous tea. What else is famous?
What are the great tea ads? Or
Lipton?
Lipton?
In the Lipton, the Jigglers Club or something?
Oh, remember that, yes.
Could Sam... Would we be able to get an early – what's the earliest Lipton's tea ad you can find? I'm pretty sure they had a good jingle.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
You'd like a cup of tea, come have a cup with me, 'cause Lipton is the finest quality for me and you. Now no other tea will do, we say the way. The day is the jiggler hits the spot. The jiggler's got the luck. We take the smallest leaves from the finest crop. It's true, thank you. Now no other tea will do for you and me.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's
still
catchy.
Doesn't want to make me drink tea.
Do we live in a time now, do we still have jingles now?
Yeah. Listen to radio. Yeah. Not as much, though. Definitely not as much. But if you listen to, like, the radio station that you appear on, 3AW,
okay,
there are jingles on that because my kids all laugh at them.
Because what's the jingle do? It explains the cheesecake shop, for example.
When your muffler snuffs it. Take it to Midas. It gets a message across in a catchy tune. You want a GJ Gardner Homes? Have you heard that one? It's terrible. It's the one where they let the kids sing. You want a GJ Gardner Homes? Oh.
The Drain Man? That's not a song, is it? No, there was it?
The Drain Man.
There's a tile one that's really annoying too.
Frank Walker. Hello. Frank Walker Tiles.
What about the where you go get your car serviced?
Pick Apart. Oh, we've had Pick
Apart. Oh, Pick Apart was fair.
That's a great one.
Oh,
Pick You know what? They're not done as much these days. They're definitely not done as much.
So now we've got to try and come up with
tea and tanks. I just reckon that British tanks were the first tank to have a tea making facility in it. There you go. That'll do.
What?
I think British tanks were the only tank to ever have a tea making facility.
So you had a kettle in there.
Had a kettle in there. Part of the equipment.
You're blowing the shit out of things, and you're going blow the shit out of that.
Cup of tea, Cedric.
You reckon they have biscuits as well? Probably. So you reckon they've got a kettle and some bags?
I reckon because the British love their cups of tea. If they're stuck in there all day, Then how would you do a wee?
Interesting. Could be. I reckon, given that the tank, this is a bit of a long bow, looks a bit like a teapot.
Oh.
So I'm wondering whether or not the tank was influenced by the teapot.
Oh, the design.
Yeah, because you got that. You got that. You go. Someone's looking at it. Because remember how the Nike shoes were based on a waffle maker.
That's right.
So he sat there looking at the waffle maker and goes, "That's perfect for a tread," as you learned on this show.
Yes,
I reckon someone's sitting there and going, "If I put wheels on that and I made the spout into a gun, I reckon I've got myself a weapon there."
Wow. All right, let's get the answer.
I reckon I've got it.
Maybe. What's the answer?
Since the 1950s, British tanks and other armoured British vehicles have had boiling vessels installed in them so soldiers can make cups of tea in the battlefield. During World War II, British tanks were under fire several times, having let their guard down while the soldiers left the vehicle for cups of tea at certain times of the day. Having a boiling unit inside the tank meant one less excuse to leave it after the war. A study found that almost 40% of all armor unit casualties occurred when the crew member was outside the vehicle.
Wow, Sam, thanks.
Tea making. I mean, that's was crazy. That was that easy? Was that obvious for you? Because I didn't think of that.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, I mean, I wonder what the American tanks would have. Cold fridge for some Coca-Cola.
They probably have a lot of little fridges and they go, check me a Budweiser or something.
Yes, and the Germans, they'd have a waffle maker.
Some sauerkraut down there in the fridge.
Strudel. Oh. The Russians, vodka. They'd have vodka. All the cliches, all the stereotypes.
What would be, just to say, when's the appropriate time to have a cup of tea if you're in a tank and you're in a battle?
No, we'd before the battle or after the battle.
Would you have a cup of tea? You have a cup. We'll go and invade that foreign country. Do you want to put the kettle on? No, we'll do the invading first. It's a bit like the show. We don't get the burgers until we do the show, except unless we do it the other way around.
Something to look forward to for the boys.
So they women. Would... they. I can't imagine they're having a cup of tea while they're invading.
No.
And then when they've finished the invade, they pop the kettle on. Was it an urn, you reckon, or a kettle? How would they heat the water in there?
Oh, the engine would. They'd get hot, those. It'd be something to do with the engine.
So you were saying they're running pipes off the engine?
Yeah, I'd reckon.
No.
Well, that's how some heaters work. I can't see why not. I reckon it would. Wouldn't it be to do something like that?
It's not electric, so there's no batteries in a tank, is there? Well, there would be batteries. The batteries. Look, hey, but this would be this. I wonder what period this was that they were doing this.
Yeah, I don't know.
When did the British start using tanks? Probably
at the end of World War One. Maybe there were tanks.
You could be right. Running it off the.
I watched that 1970 movie. There were no cups of tea there. No one's having a cup of tea in that movie. Always running around getting shot at.
It was always a punctuation mark, as I said earlier. Mm. It was always something to do when you had nothing to do.
The cup of tea.
The cup of tea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was my dad was one of the first people to have a cup of coffee at home. See, now, I reckon the whole economy, as I said before, the whole economy of Australia is run on cups of coffee and lawn mowing.
Yes.
If they were to fall over... Well, probably by the time this podcast goes to air, the economy has fallen over.
Yeah, because of the virus.
Yeah, because of COVID-19.
Corona, man.
Yeah. Another one the other day for a song, by the way.
Yeah, My Corona.
Corona.
It's been put on Facebook.
She was only COVID-19.
Oh, God.
What about Come On Eileen? COVID-19.
COVID-19. I swear what I mean. Because you're dirty. Yeah. COVID-19.
So whenever this is going out into the world, I hope it's all right because we're a little bit behind with what's happening and it's moving very quickly and we should wish you all the best. I did have a look on our charts and we have 3 listeners in China.
Hello. Hello to those listeners.
Hello to those listeners in China. I know you're going through a tough time. But
so are we in Australia now, thanks to you guys.
We had to say it. Someone had to say it.
Someone had to say it.